Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our Bible study on the church at Thyatira. In our last program, we got acquainted with Jezebel from the Old Testament. And we also saw how the Jezebel at Thyatira called herself a prophetess. But the Thyatiran Jezebel was not a prophetess, though she called herself one. Make no mistake about it now, God does use women as prophetesses. This is clearly shown in both the Old and the New Testaments. In the Old Testament, there are Miriam. You can see her in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20. There's Deborah in Judges chapter 4 and verse 4. And there's Huldah in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14. And then in the New Testament, there are Anna, which it is revealed in Luke chapter 2 verse 36, and the four virgin daughters of Philip. This is in Acts chapter 21 and verse 9. So we have there at least those five examples of God using women as His prophetesses. By perversion of the scriptures, Jezebel convinced some that she was a prophetess. She called herself a prophetess. She was not. God did not inspire her to speak what she was speaking, but she was a very persuasive speaker, and through a perversion of the scriptures, she persuaded people to believe that she was a prophetess speaking under the inspiration of God. But God, the one and only true God, is the only one who can anoint a person as a prophetess. And He did not use Jezebel as a prophetess. So let's make that clear. God does use women as prophetesses, but God did not use the Thyatiran Jezebel as a prophetess, just like God did not use the Old Testament Jezebel, who married Ahab, king of Israel, as one of His spiritual leaders. He condemned Ahab, and He condemned Jezebel because they were false leaders of God's people. They led them into idolatry and into immorality. So it doesn't matter if someone calls themselves a prophet or a prophetess, and you know, all over billboards, all over the city, you can see people calling themselves prophetess this and prophet this and bishop this and apostle this. People giving themselves titles, but most of them are no more inspired of God than this woman Jezebel. It's extremely important to note that what makes the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet is not whether the prophecy comes true. That's not what makes the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. So a false prophet could say something that comes true, and a true prophet could say something that comes true. That's not what makes the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. What makes the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet is whether that prophet leads you into truth. Because somebody can speak truth to you initially, that one point, and then lead you into error as a result of hooking you by that one truth that they spoke. So you not only have to see what the prophecy is about and whether or not it came true, but also you have to see if that person continues to lead you into truth. In both the Old and New Testaments, God left us a warning about those who call themselves prophets or prophetesses, and He also gave us instructions on how to deal with these false prophets and prophetesses. So here are the warnings about the false prophets. You can see it from the Old Testament first in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verses 1 through 3. We read, "If a prophet rises among you, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass," so what they said comes to pass, they spoke the truth on this matter, "if they do that, and then they say, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' Then you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For Yahweh your God is testing you. He's testing you to know whether you love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And now let's read in the New Testament. And that was from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 13 in verses 1 through 3. Now we're going to see in the New Testament the same admonition. This can be found in the first epistle of John chapter 4 and verse 1. This is the first epistle of John chapter 4 and verse 1. Here God says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but try the spirits. Put them on trial, test them, give them a test to see if they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now here are the instructions on what to do with false prophets. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 13, and we'll read now this time verses 4 through 5. This is Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 4 through 5. So now we have been able to see that we have to look at the fruit, look at the subsequent teachers of a prophet to see if they are continuing to lead us into truth, to see if they are living by the truth and not just telling us a prophecy that initially comes true. And if they tell us a prophecy that initially comes true and then their lifestyle is contrary to the truth from the Word of God, and if they're teaching you lies and errors, deceptions that are obviously contrary to the Word of God, then we should not follow them. But not only that, this is what it says in the Old Testament was done to people like that. God says, "You shall walk after Yahweh your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold on tight to him. That prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death." I'm going to read that again. "That prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death." Why? "Because he has spoken to turn you away from Yahweh your God who redeemed you, to turn you away from the way in which Yahweh your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put the evil away from the midst of you." Now, hold on just a second. If you're saying, "Well, do you believe that a person should be stoned to death or something like that? That they should have the death penalty because they're a false prophet?" Well, no. Since the church is a spiritual nation, we cannot go around executing evildoers. That is to be left to the physical nation in which we dwell. And that principle can be found in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. So no, I'm not advocating that we as church members, the spiritual nation of Israel, should go about killing false prophets. But the principle of executing evildoers is the same that we should follow in the church in this way. We don't physically execute evildoers, but spiritually we should excommunicate evildoers. So not execute physically evildoers, but we should excommunicate, spiritually speaking, excommunicate evildoers so that they might be as though they were dead to us, because if they have been excommunicated, then they can't affect us anymore. So it would be as though they were dead to us. Now, a very clear New Testament principle that shows this is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. So this is in the second book of Timothy and in the second chapter of Timothy and verses 15 through 17. This is what it says here. "Study earnestly to present yourselves approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, because you are rightly dividing the word of truth. But avoid profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their word will eat like gangrene. And an example of this is Hymenaeus and Philetus." And then going back, actually, to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, the same Timothy is saying about Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have led people astray. He says about them, "whom I have delivered to Satan so that they may learn not to blaspheme." So what has happened here is Paul is telling Timothy how he should conduct business in the church. And he's saying, avoid profane and vain babblings, because what's going to happen is that's going to increase unto more ungodliness. It's going to be like gangrene that eats a person's flesh little by little until the whole leg has to be amputated. And if it's left unchecked, the whole body will be eaten up and it's going to stink. And so he's saying that you have allowed people like Hymenaeus and Philetus to do that. But Paul steps in and he says, but I have delivered those people to Satan so that they may learn not to blaspheme. And now we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, another very clear example of how we should exercise church discipline. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, it is reported commonly that one person in your midst is actually sleeping with his father's wife, and you are puffed up. You should have been mourning. This is an evil deed that must be taken away from you. In the name of our Lord Jesus the Christ, when you are gathered together, I'm telling you that you should make a judgment that this person should be delivered to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. And then the last verse, verse 13 in chapter 5, it says, you know, I'm not talking about judging people that are outside of the church. Let the world judge the people of the world. I'm talking about people that are inside the church. And this is the judgment that you should have made, that you should have put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So we have two very clear examples there of church discipline, that when evil is being conducted in the church, and it's persistent evil, I mean, everybody slips up and makes mistakes. We're all sinners. But this crap that people talk about, oh, we shouldn't judge one another, that is for the dung heap. That's where that kind of reasoning should be put. We need to make righteous judgment within the body of Christ to excommunicate people who are practicing evil. And that's what Yahweh is saying to the church at Thyatira, that you put up with this woman Jezebel instead of putting her out. Now we have to ask the question, did the Thyatiran Jezebel lead people into truth or into lies? Jezebel clearly led people into believing lies because she convinced the Thyatiran congregation that they should break the first commandment, which says, thou shalt have no other god besides me. This is contrary to the truth of the scriptures, which say in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, this is how we can be sure that we have come to know God, when we continually keep his commandments. The person who says, I have come to know God, but does not continually keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. And so Jezebel was a liar, though people thought she was teaching the truth. She was a liar because she was teaching people, falsely prophesying certain things and leading them away from God to observe practices contrary to God. And so Jezebel should have been put out of the church. But since she was not put out of the church, God had to say this in his evaluation of the church. And this is going back to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. But despite your good works, this is what I have against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel. Please, my radio friends, do not ever tolerate lies, deceptions, and putrid pagan practices in your worship. You have to worship the one true God in spirit and in truth. Well, thank you for joining me on this program. I hope you'll come back for the next program, and may God be in you.